I'd like to introduce our speaker now. Kate Daly is a Fox News radio talk show host down in St. George. She's an investigative journalist and has a show actually on The Blaze. And you might be saying, wait a minute, we know those are all corrupt. Fox News is corrupt and The Blaze is corrupt and everything's corrupt. Why in the world would you invite her to speak here? Well, the truth is there's still a few, with a capital F, individual reporters and other people in the media who love the Constitution, who love this country, and are trying to get the word out as best they can. And Kate Daly is one of them. She's also a member of MedicalCostShare.com, so I thought I'd plug that as well right there. She's going to be speaking on her perspective as an insider, as a whistleblower on the controlled media, its agenda, and cooperation with those who have taken over and control the federal government for sure, and virtually just about everything else, it seems like. Political correctness, the overall success of the Hollywood and the media whores and others who have brainwashed so many of us. Please join me in welcoming Kate Daly.
I have gum in my mouth, and I usually would never do that, either on the radio or in a speech, but I have to, because I've had literally no voice for the last 24 hours, so this is a blessing that I could even do this. I get laryngitis probably maybe once a year, really hardcore.
Can you hear in the back?
Can you hear me? Oh, good. And, because this is as good as it's going to get. I'm serious. You forgot to say domestic terrorist. When you interview me, domestic terrorist, because that's what we all are. Okay, might as well just cut to the chase. Anyway, so I'm sorry that I sound like transgender. I feel sad, and I'm so sorry, and I don't know what to say. I don't normally sound like this. Okay, I was on my mission in Seattle eons ago, and they gave me a topic, and they wanted me to talk on the life of Jesus Christ, and I'm like, which part? I mean, that's like a 10-hour talk. And that's kind of what this seems like to me tonight, because I've covered a lot of shows and a lot of topics. And I'll talk a little bit about the two shows I do and tell you a little bit about how I do it. But it's just been a blessing. I never thought I would be in radio. Radio was totally a surprise in my life. I actually was an entrepreneur, and I was on the Oprah show for a business I did. And I was a guitar teacher, and I did a kind of a self-teaching, kind of a how-to system. And so I was on the Oprah show, and I was on track to go big. My agent was Michael Jackson's agent, and it was a really fun ride for a while. And the E! Channel at that time wanted to do a reality series on an entrepreneur, and they were looking at my story, but we knew we'd have to move to California, and I grew up there, and I didn't want to go back and raise my kids there. So we made a decision to sort of walk away from that, and I didn't know where my life was going to go. I won tickets at a radio station, and I went in to pick them up, and this little voice said to me, "You're going to work here with these people." And I remember thinking, no. Radio? No. And I thought, well, it must be something else that I'm going to be doing there. And so I went in, and the gentleman that ran the station said, "I don't know, I just have a feeling I should put you on a show." And this girl just left, and there's an opening on a talk show, on a political show. "Are you political?" And here in my mind, I'm going, well, yeah, I watch the news. Yeah, I got this. I got this. I watch Fox News. I'm good. And I remember telling my husband and thinking, I hate talk radio. It's awful. And I turn it on off every time he turns it on. And I thought, there's no way I could do this. And so I get on the show, and the first question my co-host asks me is, "Are you a statist?" And I said, "I love my state." So if that tells you where I came from, yeah, that's where I started. And probably every Republican talking point you can imagine. And then I started getting really interested in knowledge. And I wanted to learn from the very beginning, because I grew up at the beach, and I skipped class. I barely barely sailed through history with a D minus. I hated history, couldn't stand it. And I started reading and studying 4 to 5 hours a day, which I do right now, 4 to 5 hours a day. And it is long and it is tedious sometimes, but I love it. So it's probably the right job for me. So my journey through radio has been one of going from Republican talking points to the truth and to finding out more about history and more about how to find the truth. That's a big one. Where to search, where to go, what websites, what news sources. Because I'll tell you, it's not mainstream. And a lot of things that we don't realize are mainstream are we think are kind of off the beaten path, and they're not. And so it's really tough. You know, I've had Joel Skousen on my show. I've had Paul Craig Roberts, Lou Rockwell a couple of times. He's a gentleman and a half. He's so sweet. And I've had scientists and health experts, and I can't even tell you what a journey this has been. And so my show in particular, I wanted to kind of shake it up a little bit, and so I have a different person that I interview each day of the week. So on Mondays, it's Republican Tea Party, and we sort of battle it out. And then on Tuesday, I do my own thing. Wednesdays, I do a full-on liberal, and he's anti-Mormon liberal, which makes it even more exciting. And then on Thursday, I have kind of an independent and a libertarian on Friday. And so every day of the week is different. We go through different topics, and we sort of battle them out for the audience on our different feelings. When I started radio, I actually had a feeling I'd be working with Glenn Beck, which is really strange. But I did, and I told my husband that, and he said I was crazy again. Just like when I called him and said I was going to do talk radio, and he started laughing, and he was like, no, there's no way you're going to do talk radio. So he started laughing. Well, Glenn found my podcast, my show, and there's about almost 500 shows up right now. And he found it, and for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, he messaged me and said, we need you for The Blaze, and they only have one female doing podcasts. And so the president of the programming for The Blaze called me up and said, we want to do a show. And my first thought was, have you listened to what I say? But yes, and so I do do a show for The Blaze called The Kate Show, and then I do a daily show 3 hours a day for it's a Fox News outlet, and I'm the only Mormon female that does Fox News. And so I consider it an honor and a privilege, because on my show, we just decided a long time ago that political correctness was out the door. I talk about the spirit on the air. I talk about the gospel. I talk about a lot of deep subjects that aren't talked about. And when we get to the truth, I always say on the radio, this is not the show that you want to hear, but it's the show you need to hear. And I really mean that, because as I do my research, I get excited to bring that to the audience and to share with them what I've found. And I get a little nervous sometimes, because I'm thinking, you know what, I'll be off the air any day, because the stuff I talk about and the stuff I say is not status quo. Even for The Blaze, you know, Glenn is all about constitutional convention. Well, one of my mentors and one of the loveliest people on this earth is Don Fotheringham, and he was the one that fought the constitutional convention in the 80s, and he traveled around to 22 states and fought it, and they were very close, within 2 states of passing that, of getting their hands on the Constitution. Well, I had Don on a show for The Blaze. And so, you know, I'm like, sorry, you know? I feel like saying sorry every time I post a show, because I feel like, wow, this is not what they're used to hearing. In fact, I did a show on, and this is kind of a, hold on, I can't even believe my voice is working. I actually had a blessing that it would, and here we go. I couldn't even speak. I couldn't even hardly whisper yesterday. So I did a show on vaccines, and you and I know that this isn't talked about because there are a lot of doctors dying over that information, but GCMAF is what helps our bodies withstand cancer and help our bodies get rid of cancer. And NAGALEASE is the component that those doctors that have died think that is going into the vaccines from the time we're born, that actually erode our immune system and make it so that the GCMAF, the protein, can't attach. And the NAGLEs, once they disclosed that the NAGLEs could be in the vaccines, doctors started dying about March. And the doctor that worked on this the most, they said it was suicide, but he had a gunshot wound to the chest and he was in a river. I don't know anybody that goes that way that would opt for that. So, but anyway, so I did even a show on that for The Blaze. And maybe they don't advertise it as much, the content of that particular show, but when you, this is what I told my husband. You know, he's such a sweetheart because he really supports this. I'm a talk radio show host and he's a therapist. How do you like that for a couple? I mean, come on, I hit the jackpot. He listens, I talk, it's fabulous. And he's going, oh, no, not at all. But I'll talk about some of those things in a minute. My show is, it's, I don't like Hatch, and he's been on my show. And I asked him about the NDAA, and he started giggling, and he started laughing, and he couldn't contain himself. And he said, you know, I can't believe that you'd even ask about that. I mean, yes, it's written, but it's not like we're ever going to use it. So I won't have him back. He's not allowed on my show. So his chief of staff emailed me and said, let's get together and let's bury the hatchet and let's have, no, thank you. No, I actually have more fun talking about him than I ever will to him. So, no thanks. So that isn't gonna ride with me. In fact, I'm very vocal about all four congressmen because all four congressmen's records are completely horrifying and we have actually turned into a blue state and no one's realizing it. We are blue. And I hate that, don't you? We are better than that, but we don't educate ourselves. When we say the system is broken, we're broken. It's the system is us. And really the only cure is going to be us in changing how we view everything, how we realize how much propaganda is in the news. And I want to talk a little bit about that because a lot of people don't realize to what level. We hear that we need healthcare. They've got to do something about it. We're told that this is how the Kennedy assassination went down and you're going to believe it. And as many times as we show you and tell you at the same time, you're just going to walk away with that information thinking that that's right. So all of these things were basically just told. In fact, I was laughing on the air because the big Fox News headline the other day was the government has now put out how you should eat. We've redone our guidelines and here you go, America. We're here for you and we're gonna teach you how to eat. And I just went, oh, it's just mind-boggling. But I've done shows on the CIA in the media. I've done shows on VNRs. Does anybody know what a VNR is? Oh, this is gonna be fun. Okay, so a VNR is a video news release. A video news release, you are watching these all the time in the media. What happens is back with, mostly with Clinton's healthcare and with No Child Left Behind, the government started a program called Training with Industry. And CIA members were put into more of the media than ever during this program. They were in the military, but they got to be part of our media. And what they do is, during the Clinton healthcare and No Child Left Behind, they started producing about 90 a year VNRs. And these VNRs are video news releases. And so what happens is they make it look like your local station is weighing in on all of these things. And your local station's out there working very, very hard for you. And they're putting together this newsreel. You're going to notice foreign affairs done this way. You're going to notice anything that comes out of the government. And this is how they like to use propaganda to you. This is how they like to shove it in your face, is by putting together, the government puts together a newsreel and then makes it look like it's coming from your local station. And these are nightly. And so now when you watch the news, I want you to notice that there's no interaction between the anchors and the people in the video for the most part, because they put them together and then they spin them out and they'll even have a tagline on the end. This is Bob for the morning show, you know, and they'll do this sort of thing. And so it makes it look like you're state, your local area is out there, you know, with a camera over in Iraq or anything having to do with foreign affairs. The reason that they can do it legally now is because, sorry, oh my gosh, is because The Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 is what legalized propaganda for the government to be able to use propaganda for in foreign places. When Obama signed the 2013 Patriot Act again, the renewal, it has in there a clause that says that they can use propaganda now in our country legally. They legally, and they've been doing it for a long time, of course, but legally now, there's no recourse. They can actually produce as many VNRs as they want, and all of those go through the State Department. They all go through these programs where you have CIA members inside the media. Now, that's been going on since the 50s, and I know some of you are probably pretty aware of that. Because there was a big, I think it was New York Times article in the 70s that disclosed that said, oh yeah, this is, I think it was Carl Bernstein, and he said basically, yeah, this is going on and there's nothing really we can do about it. They've basically infiltrated our media and they set them up as investigative reporters and journalists, and they make it look like they're journalists. You would never know the difference. Does that scare you? That scares me too. It scares me too because I know that at any point this could end because of what I say, and who wouldn't like that? But Major Thomas Collins, U.S. Information Service, confirmed that PSYOPs personnel, soldiers and officers, have worked in the CNN headquarters in Atlanta, and the Lend-Lease exercise was part of the Army program training with industry. And according to Collins, the soldiers and officers worked as regular employees of CNN. It's been going on a long time. Yeah.
I ask you to just lift the microphone sure. A little closer.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay.
It's clear, but it's a little
faint. I'm so sorry. But it's sexy. I mean, come on. Right? Okay. Is that better? Okay. TV stations, they call them, is that better? Good. They call them filler. Because they've actually been able to reduce their staff, and they actually are able to cut budgets because they like the fact that the government's doing this, and we're paying for it, and we're paying millions of dollars for these VNRs. And so they are giddy over the fact that they do not have to hire reporters, extra reporters to go overseas. They don't have to hire anybody to do this. Government's got it all taken up, you know, control. So that's nice. Yeah, I know. Isn't it great? But they're packaged with two versions of the story that the PR firm is trying to promote. If you don't believe me, there's a clip on YouTube, and I wish I had it with me. But the first tagline of the story, they actually have a reel of about 25 different stations all over the country using the exact same tagline in their story. So they also do stories and package those for the news stations because they can reduce personnel, and then they also put together the VNRs, the video news releases. I mean, it's bad. I don't think people realize to the extent that actually how horrifying it actually is. Also, when Ebola came out, I think it was August, July of last year, everybody on the radio was freaked out, and I even had my own brother texting me, oh my gosh, are you just, oh my gosh, and I said, no, I'm fine. I had actually read a study by Chang Keng P. I know, it's a funny, you know, a million jokes, but Chang Keng P from Malaysia did a study on, the way that they do a sort of a crisis, a health crisis in this country. Do you want to know how long they last? About 4 months. And so when it came out, I told the audience, in about 3 more months, we're not going to have any news stories about it. They're going to say millions of people are going to die, just like they did with SARS, just like they did with H1N1. And in about 4 months, that's the news cycle, you're going to see it taper off and never mentioned again. And then they'll never report the statistics that actually where actually people died because they're going to be so low. But they're going to freak everybody out. And this is a great way to take advantage, right? Because what do we trade for safety?
Liberty.
Right. And so when you look at the health crisis, the next one that comes, because I'm actually surprised we haven't had another one this year, but usually it's every other year, Just remember the four-month thing. And then if it goes past 4 months, then you can get worried. But it's a four-month cycle. And he did a great study, if you want to look that up. He's a Malaysian guy, and he studies the media like crazy. And he studied how many reports they were reporting on and how many stories that they were reporting on in that four-month period of time, and it was 24/7. I mean, they were just beating people over the head with Ebola crisis. Yet, did we have a lot of deaths in the United States? No. So I think the big message there is look and see how they do this, because if you look back at SARS and H1N1, they did the exact same thing, and it was 4 months. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, all right. I was going to also talk about the Bundy situation as well. I've had Cliven M and Ryan and Ammon interviewed all of them, and I've had Ryan in studio, and they're good men. And so, of course, I was on the radio talking about the fact that that it was not an armed seizure. An armed seizure is different than men having guns through concealed carry permits and being armed as a civilian, as a citizen, and occupying a building. That is different than basically taking it over, shotguns ready to go, and ready to fight, and ready to get out there and hurt somebody. That is not how they went into it. And so I think there were only a few shows in the country that were actually even reporting that, by the way. Mine being one of the few. And I even did that same one for The Blaze, because I felt like they were getting a really bad rap. Now, the only thing with that, and the only thing I worry about with that type of situation, if you look at history, is the fact that it opens up a lot of excuse and reason to again take away more of our liberties. We almost have to fight things through legislation. If something goes down there, which it could, and if it could, I believe it's a total psyops, and they will be pushing the Bundys towards something. I really don't think that the Bundys I don't think it's actually being reported right, and I do think that they would push them into a situation and then blame them and then go after them by blaming them. But in any case, I think we have to always look at what is the end result, what's going to happen a little bit later down the road. And whenever we have civil disobedience is good to a certain degree, but they use it, and they use it for an opportunity to take away more and more of our freedoms, which is very bad for us in the long run. And I worry about that. I worry about that a lot with those types of situations. I do a lot of Utah stories, and I also majorly hit, obviously the globe and the world. But even on a Utah story, I want to say this. You know those letters that you get in the mail if you haven't sold your car or you have a car sitting there and they ask for your insurance? Is everybody aware of those? They come from InsureRight. Has anyone gotten a letter like that? We had a car just sitting for a long time, and we got a letter, and it was demanding that we actually say what we've done with our car. And I felt like saying, oh yeah, that's my car, and you want to know why? No. Well, InsureRight, David Kassler, he actually, and I want you to be aware of this, only for government collusion, I want you to be aware of this story, because nobody ever reported on this, and it bothered me. InsureRight works with the state, and they actually have a state contract, but this is a guy who went to our legislators who had never had a business like InsureRight. Okay, and InsureRight, what it does is it has a system that's built that flags all the cars that don't have insurance, so they can charge you fines. Okay, if you don't answer, you get 3 letters, and if you don't answer, then they can take away your license if they want to. He went to the government here in Utah and said, "I would like $5,000 because I have a really good idea." Now, I'm an entrepreneur, and I hadn't thought of that angle. Maybe I should have done that. Maybe I should have just gone to the government. Can I have a loan? It wasn't even a loan. They gave him $5,000, and they said, sure, why don't you go try that idea? It sounds like a great one. Can you believe this? This never got reported on. So he builds a system in which he had no business doing. He had no prior experience doing, And he goes and he builds this system, starts to build it, and he says, well, I'm onto something. This is going to work out really well. The legislators and the lobbyists, like David Spadafore, got behind it. And actually now his business does well over $1.5 million in the state of Utah because we're taxed for this service. The legislators actually passed legislation so that he could have his business. That legislation supports InsureRight to exist. Now that's what I want to do. I want to go, I want to get $5,000 for something I've never done before. Then I want to go into business, and I want my legislator to pass legislation that supports my business and gives me a sole contract. Wow, he's in a nice racket. So on his website, you can go and you can witness all the testimonials. And all the testimonials are from Kurt Bramble and all of these state senators. I'm surprised Urquhart wasn't on there. Urquhart, anyway. So he has all of these testimonials saying, oh yeah, we needed this. We needed this, and this is a great way for us to make sure, for the safety of everybody, we have to make sure that these uninsured drivers, now there aren't very many of them, but they wanted to make it seem like it was just ruining our entire system in the state of Utah. And that's how they used the propaganda to make sure that we understood what a big deal this was. But that guy's making $1.5 million, I think, and that was a couple years ago, just in the state of Utah, off of the taxes that, all of our taxes that pay for that, and then the fines and fees, he gets a good portion of those for his business. Now he's going to all the other states, and he's doing it for them too, because Utah's worked out so well. Now I want to be in business doing that. I think he got off pretty good on that one. Things to come. I know, I wanted to talk about so many things tonight, because it's just amazing when you start looking into all of this. And I love jumping down the rabbit hole. It's my favorite thing. Ask my husband. I'm like 3:00 in the morning. I'm like, oh, I got down this rabbit hole and you can't even believe what I found. And I know, I just bug him relentlessly. But there's a couple of things coming and I want you to see them. In our media right now, the war on women, it is not a war on women, it's a war on men. And I happen to like being a woman. And so I don't even say that they're feminists because they've taken the feminism right out of it. I actually love the fact that we're different. And I love the fact that I'm respected and I respect him. My husband and I switched roles for a couple of years while I put him through school. It was the best thing we could have ever done. I came in the door at night and I said, I need 30 minutes, like, to myself, don't bug me. And he would say, take the children before I kill them. Right? Am I right? Okay, so we totally switched roles, and it was awesome. And we learned a lot about each other. And I'll tell you, when the women get up there, and they say that we are everything, and I'll tell you, this war is heating up on men, white men. This war has been going on, actually, since the 60s, but I think few people realize that it was really about white men. But you guys, and I really feel bad, because as a woman, I am who I am because I have a great partner, and he is who he is because he has a good partner. It is not about being better. It is not about being the fact that I get to do all and be all, and then he's just a prop. But that's how the media is going to start to make it look. Look at all the shows right now. We have the Supergirl. She doesn't need a man. We have, Madame Secretary. She's in charge. All of the shows, Good Wife, you name it. Give me a show. I'm serious. You'll see the woman as the pivotal character, and then you'll see the man as sort of the supporting cast. And you'll also see in Disney movies, women got it together, they're smart, and they know what they're doing, and men are a pile of junk, and they're kind of stupid. And the women have to take care of everything, and they also have to take care of their man. Am I right? So the war on women is heating up, and this actually started, and I'm going to agree with Dr. Richard Day, because he made predictions back in 69. Has anybody ever read those predictions? You haven't? Are you serious? Oh, okay. So he made predictions back in 1969 to 80 other pediatricians, to 80 other doctors, and he was the medical director for Planned Parenthood, okay? And he, boy, did he nail it when he talked about what was to come. and what would happen, because he said, there is a plan in place, and this is what's going to take place over the next 30 to 40 years. So this was back in 1969. I was born in 68, so about a year before me. And so what happens is, he made these predictions and he said, girls will be introduced to sports early. And the reason being is they want them to start competing with boys. They don't want them playing with dolls or tea sets. They don't want them playing at home or thinking about procreation or anything like that. They want them to be out and competing at a very, very, very young age. And I found that so fascinating that he sort of nailed that. He also talked about a couple of things, actually, I want to share with you. If nobody's read that, it's fascinating. If you go back and you look at what he said, the real and stated goals. He said, everything has two purposes. And he said, the only reason I can say this now is because I am not in fear for my life, because these plans are already well underway and they're already going to happen and you can't do anything to stop them. He said, everything has two purposes. One is ostensible purpose, which will make it acceptable to people. And second is the real purpose, which would further the goals of establishing a new system and having it. He talked about population control. He talked about the fact that he was in Planned Parenthood and that contraception would be available everywhere and somebody wouldn't even think about getting married unless they were thinking about contraception first. Isn't that interesting? He nailed it. He also said that there would be... girls would be encouraged to sort of step out of their families and to be and to work, be out of the home. Men would be encouraged to travel, to be away from their families. They would be encouraged to move away from the grandparents, from any sort of roots or stability. He talked about the fact that homosexuality would come to a time when it would be widely accepted and normal. He also talked about divorce becoming more and more prevalent, and the fact that even the medical system, you would get to a point where you would have to show ID and be buzzed into a hospital. You couldn't just really walk into the hospital. Now, who's been to the ER lately? I have. And you have to be buzzed in, and you have to show ID to get in, right? He said that there's a lot of things that... that would be instigated within the next 30 years, one of them being the fact that they already had all the cancer cures. The Rockefeller Center has these. The Rockefeller Institute has these cancer cures, but they are not going to release them for population control because it would mean that people weren't dying off. And so it rids us of our population. He also talked about the fact that simple words would be changed within the Bible and within different classics to the point that you would not notice them. And the old books would not be in print any longer, that you would not notice subtle changes in word meanings or certain words, and that it would actually encourage people to think about religion in a different way. And you know what's interesting is even 10 more years, it'll be interesting to see how these things pan out. Gun control, he said the thing that they're going to end up doing with gun control, the end result, will be that we will have centers in every community where you will go and your gun will be deposited there. They will watch it for you and babysit it for you, maybe give you a nice 8x10 glossy, you know, just for remembrance. And then you can go rent it or lease it. And they will decide who hunts and who doesn't and who's given that privilege and when you can go fire your gun, but you'll house it as at a separate facility. He said that is the end result of where gun control will lead. And people will actually do it because of gun safety for kids. All in the name of safety, all in the name of the children, which I have, we have five kids. But guess what? Not everything is about that, but they're making it about that so that we go, oh, well, gosh, a kid couldn't get a hold of a gun if it was housed in an appropriate location like a safe deposit box. So I guess we'll just, you know, let them have it and then we'll go. But it's ours. It's in our name. So we'll just go and rent it or lease it when we feel like we want to go shoot. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? Yeah.
Who is the name of this man?
Dr. Richard Day.
Richard
mm-hmm.
Day?
Yeah. D-A-Y. Yeah. You have to read these too because they're fascinating. When you start to look, he said books would start to disappear from libraries, older books. He said patriotism would go down the drain. Now, this was 1969, and he basically said at the time, now you have to go back to 69. Some of you were there, right? And he said... foreign cars would be the new reliable car. And he laughed, you know, the guy in the meeting that wrote the notes from the meeting laughed at that. And he said, never, are you kidding? We love our America cars. America's built on this industry. And he said that each country would be given their, in the world order, they would be given their industry, and that was going to be Japan's. So you're going to start to notice that parts on the American cars will start to fall apart, and they're made more plastic parts, but the cars will be sold and propaganda will hit where you will love the foreign cars. Now, what's happened to our automobile industry? At the time, he didn't believe it. He said there's no way that America would shift in that way and accept that. But that's what's going on. He said there would come a time when we would have to sign an affidavit to sign on to the new plan. And we better like it. And he said people will lose their homes. They won't be able to afford them or sell them. And he said that you would move into small apartments. And he also said that that you would be almost forced to live with people, or they would have a program where people that you don't know would come to live with you, because it would always keep you a little bit on edge and you wouldn't know who to trust. Interesting. And he said that even though you think you could go sell your home, it just won't be the case because people's wages will just not keep up with it and they won't be able to do that. So he talks a lot about things to come and where we're gonna find ourselves. And I did find it very, very intriguing. It was interesting. He even talked about movies and music, you name it. Also, acceptance of the UN. And he said the end justifies the means. Acceptance of the UN at that time was not really being seen as wide as it was hoped. You guys realize that Harlan Cleveland in 1995 got together his think tank and said, how can we fund the UN? Because they need a stream of funding going directly to them. The US just paying them isn't gonna work. We need a stream from the taxpayers. And that's how they came up with the emissions tax. They said Americans will go for it. The third world countries would not, but the Americans would. So we have, every time I see that tax pop up, I just get sick. Because that tax stream is what funds the UN directly. They just needed more money. But he said that we would get to a point where we would see the UN as the saving grace. Now, when people ask me about martial law, I actually don't think, when people ask me about that for this election coming up, I don't think that will happen because they have to keep us working. They've got to keep the money going, and martial law would certainly put a dent in that. You'd have a lot of people reacting to that, and they need us. They need our stream of income, right? We're the minions. We're the slaves. They need us. They need the middle class. And so I don't think the UN would even, that would be kind of the last case scenario. But he talked about the fact that we would need to finally accept them. The reason being is because right now in America, and you've seen it with Medellin and the case that Cruz worked on, that case was a case where it went to the UN courts instead of our own constitution. And you're going to see a lot more of that happening, where they're going to the UN. If they can even weasel out a way to do it, they're going to do it. And they're going to say, oh, this needs to go to the UN. It involves something foreign. And so he said that world court, he said we would be clamoring for peace, clamoring, asking, wanting peace at any cost. And if it meant ousting the Constitution for a world court to have world peace, that we would want that and that we would do it. Pretty amazing stuff. And he said money and banking, he said it will get to a point where you will have cents, just money for gum in coinage, but everything would be done by debit card. Now, if you think about it, this was clear back in 69, and he said that there would that employers would take the money and drop it into people's accounts electronically. Did they have that in 69? They did not. So he said that they would be able to look and see, well, if you're saving too much, we don't like that. Maybe you should make less. We don't want to see the savings go too high. And as the savings accounts go higher, he said that they would be penalized and taxed at such a rate that it would be not beneficial for you to save. So there's a couple of things that he talked about. You might want to look that up and read it. But I found it insane. It really is insane, isn't it? Especially the gun thing. But you know what? If you look around and you read the headlines, I just did a show on the social number that China's doing. China has a new social number, like a credit score. You know how you have, we all have credit scores, but this is for loyalty to the government. Did anybody catch this? Yes. They just put out this article, and Alibaba is involved in this. It's their financial arm, and that is controlling this. And so, what's that?
Sesame.
Yeah, yeah, that's the arm. Yeah, and Sesame is their financial end. And so they are actually giving out a government loyalty number, and then businesses will do business with you if your number's high, if you're very loyal to the government. So I think when I saw that, I thought, that will come to America before long. There's for sure, because look at what's going on. They don't want people standing up. They don't want citizens voicing anything, because my gosh, they can't have that. They want our heads down and they want to be working, but they want us working. So people ask me about the election. My response is not what people want to hear, I think. I've interviewed Rand Paul, I've interviewed Ron Paul, I've interviewed Ben Carson. I'm interviewing his wife next week. Sometimes they're fluffy interviews, you know, and sometimes they're good. Ron Paul's always great. He's always a really good interview because he's very genuine. Rand was actually pretty genuine when I interviewed him. But I think what's going to happen is, yes, we're going to have a Republican in office. But it's because they just want us to go back to sleep. If we go back to sleep and we're not diligent and we say, oh, and most Republicans, and I'm still registered as a Republican, Republicans will say, well, see, we got the guy. And what drives me crazy is when I hear talk show hosts and I hear people in the media say it just matters who the president is because it's top-down leadership. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to scream. It's kind of like the campaign speeches that say America is broken and we must fix it. If I hear that one more time, I'm like, don't even say that. Just stop saying that altogether because nobody wants to hear it anymore, right? I can't even tell you how many. I remember, okay, I interviewed 13 congressional candidates in my district and every single one. And I love Reagan too, but oh my gosh, who do you love, Reagan? Who do you love, Reagan? It became a joke. It was like, come on, you guys. Can you guys think of anyone else too? But it was all about making sure that they kind of, I don't know, it was, let me rephrase this a little bit different. It doesn't matter who's president. It just doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter. It's like a criminal going around and doing whatever they want. Who are you going to blame, the criminal or the law enforcement that doesn't go after them when they know it's that person? I would blame the people that could stop it. Our Congress and our Senate will not stop Obama. They didn't stop Bush. They didn't stop Clinton. They won't stop them. So it doesn't matter who's president, because if we don't get a Congress and a Senate who's willing to play policemen and do their job, it doesn't matter. It truly does not matter, because it's the same exact system that they're using, right? And when I say that system, I mean we have people that will listen to the slogans, put them in office, and then they're a charlatan, right? I just had Cynthia McKinley on. She was 12 years in office. 12 years. I said, are they threatened? Are they threatened? Like, what is going on? We think we send good people, and then they're spineless. And they use every single reason as a scapegoat. And she said, yes, they are. They are threatened. She said they're threatened and they're bought from the second they get into office because they are told they will not be reelected unless they go with the lobbyists. And she said, I had to fight it tooth and nail. And she said, I lasted 12 years. But she said, I'll tell you, they are threatened and they are bought. And there's not a lot they can do about it. So if we don't change that, I always said they should wear the jumpsuits, you know, like NASCAR, where I think they should be prison orange, but that's just me, and then have like the badges that say who's bottom. Now, okay, so I've been saying that on the air, so they have like, you know, Chevron and, you know, like all the different companies. That way when they walk in to vote, we know who's bottom. California is actually thinking about, or they're trying to get that law passed, where they actually have to disclose on stage who has bought them? I was like, okay, California finally does something right. Finally, yay! Because they're horrifying, you know, the legislation's horrifying there. But I, if we don't change that, it isn't going to matter who goes into office. Now, if you'll notice in the Republican debates and in the Democratic debates, are they ever asking the right questions? Are they asking them if we're going to get out of the UN? Or are they saying that, no, we just need to make some changes or maybe not have that a little bit more control, but they hardly ever mention it. Do they mention the Federal Reserve? Not one question. Fantasy football, yes. Federal Reserve, I mean, really, it's the golden calf of our government. No. I had Creature of Jekyll Island, thank you, on the show. He was amazing. But I'll tell you, when you start to look at what's really wrong, you'll never hear any of those questions ever asked. When people say they're a conservative, I mean, there's a list of questions that they'll never ask, and that's how you know they're not a true conservative, because they won't talk about those things ever. You won't hear your congressman or your senator talk about them. You won't hear anybody talk about them. They'll never pose a question like that because they don't want to bring it up, because they're not getting rid of anything. That's why I say it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're an educated populace that sees it, and we see the media and what they're doing. When the Bundy thing happened, immediately what words did you hear? Words.
Terrorist.
Terrorist? Anything else?
Militant, racist.
Racist, militant, yes. Militia, seize, right? In Baltimore, they're given a chunk of the whole city. Go destroy this. And they're just protesters. They're protesters. You have guys in a building that's remote, that's off the beaten path, right? They happen to have concealed carry permits, so they're armed. And they're sitting in a building, and they're occupying it, and it's vacant for the winter. And what are they? Terrorists. The media trains us in who to like and who to hate every day. Who does everybody like? Transgender. Everybody loves transgender, right? He's getting the hero awards. I'm being mean. I'm being mean, aren't I? That's not very nice. Caitlyn Jenner. We'll just address by name. I'm just not. See, I call things weird things. Communist core. We all know it's not common. It's communist core. Am I right? ISIS is ICE-US. Am I right? Okay. CIA even came out and admitted it. That's why they have matching black outfits and white tennis shoes, things you do not wear in the Middle East. Where'd they get the prison orange jumpsuits? Where'd they get the cars? Where'd they get the ammo? Yeah. And that's why, even though we could have wiped them out, we didn't. We could have wiped them out in a heartbeat. They could have been gone off the face of the earth like that. 20, 30,000 of them, that's it? That's nothing for us. We fight the wars we want to fight for the reasons we want to fight them. And that's just the end game. It's you know, if we wanted to fight communism, we would have gone after Cuba. They're a lot closer and a lot easier to grab, right? Who do we fight? We go to Iraq, we go and we make up a dictator and we say, this is the dictator. If you ever want to see a great interview, and I actually really like this guy, his name is John Stockwell. Has anybody ever heard of him? Yes? Okay, I love John Stockwell. He talks about Team A and Team B, and that's who they put into office. They put in Team A, that's the Republicans, and as soon as everybody starts to get agitated, then they put in Team B, the Democrats, because they have to make sure that we don't get too crazy. So they just keep going back from Team A to Team B. And the first question I ask the audience, if they have a problem with seeing that the parties don't matter, the parties do not matter. The parties keep us infighting. In fact, one senator said, oh, the parties are for you guys. We don't do the parties up on the Hill. Parties don't even exist. They're for us. And Republicans, so he said they put in Team A and Team B just to keep the people complacent. It is. It's really sad. It is really sad. And I feel bad because most people don't see it. And I'll say, okay, so if somebody argues with me and they want to blame everything on Obama or the Democrats or the Republican Party as a whole, I go, okay, well, what has changed? Every 8 years, can you give me did the deficit go down? Because if there's Team A and they're phenomenal and Team B is the evil one, or vice versa, aren't we going to see a huge difference in the 8 years? They got 8 years. Do we see any differences at all?
No.
I've had whistleblowers on the show for 9/11, for the CIA, and for the FBI. I had Cybele Edmonds on my show. She never does interviews. She did the interview from Turkey. I had Susan Lindauer on the show. She was imprisoned on the Patriot Act. She was actually court-ordered to have a lobotomy so that she would not be the same person anymore because she wouldn't stop speaking out. She was held in Texas for a year under the Patriot Act. It was the judge's last day, and so he let her go and said no lobotomy. They were actually going to do that medically to her, the government was. And she said, do you realize that each party, it's all the same staffers? They don't change the staff. It never changes. All those people are in Washington forever. It's kind of like Hatch. What is he, 50 years in Washington? I don't even know, 38, something like that. And he's going to run again. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Word on the street. I know, I want to vomit too. Oh, anyway, I have a bone to pick with him. One of the things on my show that's become popular, I'll end with this and we'll ask some questions. One of the things that's popular on my show is I do a minute newscast for Fox News and it plays every hour on the hour. But I cannot do bought and sold media. I can't say it, I can't repeat it, I can't do it. So I make up my own. And so like we just had 90 million dollars that went missing or something for the state of Utah or needed or something. And I said, well, yes, they'll find it in the citizens' wallets. You know, stuff like that where I'm constantly talking about Hatch or I'm constantly talking about the gas taxes and how they keep trying to raise them on us and pass legislation even though they don't need to. But it's an opportunity, especially when the gas prices are low and no one's gonna bark at it. But I changed the newscast, and you can actually go to SoundCloud, the Kate Daly Show, and you can hear the newscast at the top of the hour, and it's become sort of a fun thing. And my manager, the reason I'm able to do what I do is because I have a great manager that says, go for it. Because the newscast, people are so tired of hearing the narrative. Even our local paper down in St. George was bought by USA Today. So every op-ed piece, I'm horrified at the writing and the journalism. It's so left. It's so liberal. And we're in the most conservative part of the state, or we should be down there. And it's terrible. So I change the newscast and usually put in sort of a Saturday Night Live zinger at the end of each story just to mock it, because somebody's got to mock the news. Somebody has to. And so, and I hope more people do that in my industry. Because I'm tired of it. I could not read the stories as written. It was horrible to me. Anyway, I want to say this. People ask, what can we do? Has anyone in here ever written an op-ed piece for their local paper? Yay! Okay, that's so good. We... sorry. We need to flood op-eds, articles, blogs. We have the internet now. We can do so much with the internet. There's so much wrong with the internet, and there's so much great with the internet. And as long as they're not taking control of it yet, which they will because CISA and all of the laws, they're going to get control. But for right now, they can only control it to a certain extent, right? And we have an opportunity right now to educate. They only needed 13%. To do the revolution. They only needed 13%. That's not very many people. If we were transplanted back in that time, right now, in 1775, would we have an America? I don't think we would. Because we're waiting for the next guy to stand up and do something. We're waiting for somebody else. And you know what? We don't shout it from the rooftops. We don't risk everything. They risked everything for liberty, livelihood, everything. We want livelihood over liberty, don't we? I had to go into this job, and I'm not kidding you when I say this. I had to do this job thinking every broadcast is my last and being totally okay with that. And not climbing the ladder. I know how to climb the ladder in what I'm doing right now, but I'm not doing it because I can't. Morally, ethically, I can't do it. I can't play that game and say to myself, I am a patriot underneath, And then I'm still a loyalist. Remember the loyalists back in the day, back in the revolutionary times? They just love Britain. I can't be that guy. Can't be that person. How many of us, though, walk around and we're the loyalists? Well, I'm going to break out. I'm going to be that patriot. I'm going to do it. When the time is right, when the grievance is the worst grievance I'm up against, and when I'm at that point where, okay, well, guess what? That doesn't come. That doesn't come because we're the frogs in the proverbial water. When I had Cybele Edmonds on, she was the FBI 9/11 translator, whistleblower, translator to Iraq. She said, we're all in the hot water and we don't see it. We don't get it. Now, I know you as an audience, probably over all my audiences, get this. I know you do. And I knew that going in tonight. But I'll say this. More op-ed pieces, more talking, more speaking out, and don't care who thinks you're nuts. Are you kidding me? You should see the calls I get on the radio. You're crazy. I love it. Because you know what? I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I pray before each show. I get on my knees because I'm telling you, 4 to 5 hours is not a lot of time that I had to go into my re-education camp for the last 4 years and figure all of that out and study. Like I can't even tell you how much I study. It's insane. But I'm a fast read and I still study that much. But I had to do that, and everyone's going to have to do that. I could not care about career in radio. So I always tell even my husband, I don't want a career in radio. I just want to be in radio to do the right thing. And as long as that lasts, great. We all have to do that, though, no matter what business you're in, no matter what your livelihood is, you do what's right. You don't care about job. Isn't that what's wrong with Congress and Senate? All they care about is getting reelected. All they care about is their job. Can you imagine what they would be like if they actually believed their own speeches and then went in and they didn't care about reelection? They'd be amazing. We'd have true statesmen, not statists. I love my state. No, I couldn't believe I said that when I first started in radio. I love my state. Anyway, I needed a lobotomy at that time. But what's interesting about now is that even Hatch, you know, he sent an email out to everybody, ESSA, right? Your Christmas present, Utah. I went, wow, our Christmas present. Thank you, Communist Corps, and thank you, Hatch, for delivering our Christmas present of enslavement. You know, here are your shackles. They're to keep you from your hands and your feet because they might hurt you. You'll like them. They're great. You'll love those shackles. So I just want to say, do the right thing. Don't care about your business. Don't. I think sometimes we don't put enough faith in the fact that God will take care of us if we do the right thing. But we have got to start speaking out. We're sort of a quiet crew for the most part. But 13% is not a lot. I can take a few questions if anybody has a question. Sure, back there.
Two questions.
Sure.
First,
did do what? Sure. That's what he said as a prediction. Ooh, I'll have to look into that. It's discouraging. He was saying that in Massachusetts, they already have something like that for assault weapons, where the assault weapons have to be parked someplace else. I want you all to read Dr. Richard Day, because if you read through all of those, it's quite frightening, and he commented probably 10 times more than I even mentioned tonight. Is there a question over here? I don't know what it is. It was a speech, a lecture that he did. So, yeah.
Do you know where he was educated?
Harvard. Harvard, and even his obituary is online. He was the medical director for Planned Parenthood, too.
Have you given up the story about the UN Global Police Force is true?
Yeah, I think it is true, but the UN Global Police Force, is it true? Yeah, they've been building that standing army for a long time. But I really don't think we're going to get to militia in the next while here. I know a lot of people think that. it would be actually not in their best interest to do that right now. They want to keep us complacent and go to sleep. And the way we're going to go to sleep is just to put in a Republican president for the next election. I hate to say that, too. It sounds so jaded. Anyway, yes.
Can we hear you on the internet?
Yes. A lot of people up here in Salt Lake listen. We have people all over the world. FoxNews1450.com. Really easy. FoxNews1450.com. And also, you can stream it live from that. And then you can go to SoundCloud and you can listen to the shows. If you just put in the Kate Daly Show, you can listen to all the different, and all the different topics are up, so you can see the different guests.
And K is spelled
K-A-Y-E?
K-A-T-E.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Daly, D-A-L-L-E-Y. And you can look that up. What's that?
Can you repeat those again?
Yeah, it's FoxNews1450.com. And you can listen live. It's from 1 to 4 every single day. And I have guests. I had more than 300 guests this last year. Joel Skousen's been on a couple times. We've had a lot of fun guests. And then the Kate Daly Show on SoundCloud.com. So you can review shows. Yeah.
How come we never heard anymore much about foreign relations and trilateral commission?
You know, they so successfully put up a website and made themselves look so wonderful that I think people just think that they are just a really benign organization because they put the propaganda out that said that we're benign. Yeah. They don't even have to do damage control. Council of Foreign Relations. Yeah, go ahead.
I've heard that powers that be by you. Is that true? Can you tell us the story?
No, let me correct that a little bit. I had the instance with... I'm sorry, to buy me. No, I had an offer to go into regular radio, and I couldn't do it. I did it for a little bit, and I hated it, and I had to be about message. And, of course, the money and 20-year career and could have done other types of radio. But when I asked him if I could, I had to go back. I said, I'm going to quit if I can't go back to, I don't think this is for me if I can't do talk radio. And he was like, talk radio? I mean, that's like the stepchild, you know, the radio business for the most part. And so I was going to walk away. And then I got the show back and kept going, and it was amazing. And it was a really neat kind of spiritual experience, too, actually. Yeah.
Do you believe they keep us complacent with the food we eat?
Yeah, I do. I've done some shows on Monsanto. Actually, Stephanie Senoff, who's the MIT scientist, she came out and she said, yes, vaccines, the MMR, the metals in vaccines have something to do with it. But she said it was more of a perfect storm with the ingredient called glyphosate. When they started spraying the crops twice, once when the seedling starts and then at the end, that year in 1995, when they started doing that, when they started spraying with glyphosate, which is in Roundup, they started getting the big increase in numbers. She said, you can go back to the numbers in 95, and that's when it started just exploding. And she said, what happens is if you have a buildup of glyphosate in your system, your immune system is sort of low, and mixed with the metals you're putting into your system, because I think I had like 8 vaccines, now we're up to like 36 vaccines, something like that, that it can create a perfect storm in your body. That's why not everybody gets it. But if your perfect storm, if for some reason that perfect storm kind of combines, and she said what happens is your brain goes into shutoff mode, kind of like the Chrysler engine, you know, where you have like that, a safety valve where it won't go past 30 miles an hour if it thinks something's wrong with the car. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? The brain actually goes into shutoff mode and to try and protect itself because it feels like the body's being invaded in that perfect storm. But she said, if you go back and do the numbers, when glyphosate started getting sprayed twice is when the numbers started going through the roof. The numbers of autism so now that's why we're at where we're at, because it was, what, 10,000? 1 in 10,000 back in 1970 is what she said. Yeah, it's not, yeah, I can't remember the numbers right off the top of my head. Something like that.
I just have a general question. Mm-hmm. I think most people here have probably expressed themselves in regards to what they think are encroachments on our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They've written their senators and gotten the results. And I don't want to offend any religious sensibilities here, but even Captain Moroni today would be pilloried in the press, as we've seen already. Of course, Captain Moroni didn't go around with a sidearm on his hip in front of occupied buildings. But the question is when you do something more than talk, if you're going to be active, you're going to run into a liberal press that's going to crucify you and literally lie about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are concerned. They don't want to do. They don't want to step forward. And
right. Or get audited.
Be insulted. They just don't.
Yeah.
It's not worth their time.
Yeah.
Who wants the risk of a lottery?
Right.
Come on.
But then, what are we doing? We're all putting livelihood in front of liberty.
You've got to do something besides pray.
I get that. Yeah, for sure. But why aren't we speaking out more and writing more op-eds and things like that?
What
should we be doing? Well, education. If we don't educate, I feel like my audience feels like they're getting re-educated from high school, right? When you start learning about all of these things, like the Carnegie Foundation and Norman Dodd. Everybody know who Norman Dodd is? Okay, Norman Dodd went back and did a study, got the notes from 1908 Carnegie Foundation. Most of our foundations, the big ones, are using those funds for political reasons. We all know that. But the Carnegie Foundation back in 1908 set out to change our history books. They went to the four most prominent teachers in the United States at that point in time, the Carnegie Foundation did, and asked them if they would start changing history a little bit and teaching it differently. And the four teachers said no. So what they did was they sort of raised up their own teachers, sent them over to the UK to get educated. They came back here, and they were able to change our history in America. They were able to go into the education system and start changing it from the inside out. The Carnegie Foundation did that, and the Ford Foundation. No, I think the Carnegies, the Rockefellers. Could be. I don't want to say for sure. But I think I don't think we look at foundations the way we should in America. We should really start doing more investigative work on foundations because they are one bad seed. That's how Bill Gates is able to do what he's doing with Common Core. Do you have a question over here? This is going to sound so strange. RT, Russia Today, when they report American news, they actually do it okay. Not all the time. You have to really look. But I'll visit Joel Skousen's site. I'll visit RT sometimes because RT is doing things that are reporting on things we haven't even reported on yet. And there's a lot of, I wish I would have brought my list. I'm just trying to think right off the bat. Like, yeah, go ahead. Which one? DefendingUtah.org. I have Ben on my show all the time, and he's awesome. Is he here? Is Ben here? What's that? Oh, there he is. He's hiding. I love Ben. Ben's great. He comes on the show and does some of the best investigative work I've ever seen because he's not about parties at all, and he just goes right to the truth, and I like that about Ben. Yeah. DefendingUtah.org. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. I don't think it will. It's not the Constitutional Convention, right? I honestly don't think it will. After talking to Don Fotheringham, who fought it, the Constitutional Convention is leaving it open for all change. Ben and I did a show, and Ben went in and did some investigative reporting, and the clips that Ben has on his website about that, when you hear them in session, in a mock session, for a constitutional convention trying to decide whether they wanted what, Allah or God, or who would they want to put at the very beginning. And I remember Ben and I were horrified. We're like, oh my gosh, they want to seek to change all of it. We are leaving ourselves open and not going after the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is authority. If I give my kids chores and they don't do them, I don't go and change the chores. I don't let them off. It's about their authority and respect, my authority and their respect for it. Right? It doesn't matter. So I have to go back and I have to make sure they're listening to me. I can't cater to them, and that's what's going on. And when you see people in government that are fighting for that, you ought to ask yourselves why. Why are they fighting for that? Why do they want that? Yeah, it's insane. I just think it's the most insane answer. Yes?
Have you interviewed anyone involved in these riots? Police riots?
In police riots?
Yeah, like Ferguson.
I haven't. I haven't done Ferguson or Baltimore. But I've had Sheriff Mack on. We've talked a little bit. I've had a lot of different interviews, but I'm trying to think. I don't think I have. Yeah.
Have you ever talked to Jesse Ventura?
I haven't. I haven't talked to Jesse Ventura, and I was going to have Ted Nugent on the show. In fact, Trump was going to do my show. I was in talks with his people before he decided to run for president. I wish I would have got him. It would have been interesting. Yeah. I saw that. I haven't. I'm still FEMA camps. I'm still not sold either way on that, to tell you the truth. I've done a lot of research on it. I've had a lot of different guests on, and I'm not quite sure that it is what we think it might be. But I don't know yet. On that one, I have not made up my mind on that one. Usually I'm very opinionated, but on that one I'm not. Yeah.
So do you like any of our senators and representatives?
Yeah, we have some good ones. Do I like any of the senators? I like Mike Lee, although I don't know why he didn't show up for the TPP, and that bugged me. He should have been there for that TPP vote. It was one of the most important votes in the last 5 years. That TPP and the TPA is the biggest. The TPP went through with South Carolina shooting, and so nobody noticed it. And the TPP is what is going to, those treaties with Congress and the TPA giving up their control and letting the president do what he wants and saying, oh, we don't have to weigh in on anything. We'll just stand in the room and act like we're there. That was the TPA. TPP involves us with nations that it's a treaty, and it's even worse than in the 80s, NAFTA. My thoughts are we need statesmen that will change it by legislation. Because what happens is when we work as dissidents, when we go out and we just say, I'm not going to pay anymore, all you're doing is getting caught up in the legal system. But the problem is it's not being changed. And then what they do is they use it as an excuse to come in and take away more of our liberty. So, I understand it. And we do have to starve it, really, as people, but we also need to work through legislation to change that, because we were asleep for how many, 100 years, and we didn't do anything about it. Yeah. Yes, and locally. Yeah. Yeah, and locally too. I have the mayor on all of the time, and I'm constantly, why are you buying that? Why are you in business? Why are you buying businesses? Why are you buying properties? Why are we buying land? Why are we doing this? Over and over again, because we don't get that as a population, that government should not be in business. They're not a business, a for-profit business. Yes.
When you mention legislation, I have to tell you that my thoughts. When you have a corrupt computer system, you do a thing where you go back to a restore point where you know there's no corruption existed in the system. You restore to that point. My statement of doing legislation would be to go to a restore point that is early 1900s, before we created the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and all of these things that have changed America to enslave us.
Okay. I like that answer, although I will say this. The corrupted computer is us. It's the people. We are the problem. We keep sending these charlatans in there, and they keep doing what they're doing, and we don't call them on it, and we have a hard time looking at records. Thank you. We have a hard time looking at records. Nobody wants to look at a record. They just want to believe what they're being told in the speeches. And if we don't fix an educated populace, it won't even matter if we push reset. It won't matter, because we're still uneducated. We still don't know our own government and what they've been doing, what they've been getting away with. Yes?
So it sounds to me like plan A is get out and talk, vote correctly.
Right, op-ed.
Right, tweets, all of that.
Yeah.
In spite of all of that, is there a hope for change?
And I think so. I do. I think so. I just.
What is your plan B?
I don't have a plan B.
I wish I did.
You know, if we educate a populace, can you even imagine a populace that did not even care about what the media said, that didn't review it nightly for their way of thinking? I have friends that they look to the news to see how to think. How should I feel about that? I don't know. What does Fox News say? What does CNN say? That's going to tell me what I'm supposed to think. If we don't stop that, if we're the system, we're the population that keep putting these people in. That's why I don't agree with term limits. We have term limits. It is elections. We can get them out. But look what we've done. We put Hatch in for 38 years. His voting record's atrocious and nobody cares. Nobody cares. So it's awful. I want to do this question. Who do I like? I like Mike Lee. I do. I just wish he would have showed up for the TPP vote, but that's one vote. And it was a big one, but it was one. And I like him. I like Justin Amash. He's a congressman. I'm trying to think. Michigan. And he's amazing. He'll stand on his own, and he'll say what he whenever he says he's going to do something, he does it. I wish we had more of them. And I wish we could tell Stuart and Mia Love, and I don't know what happened to Mia because it seems like she got in, and then I don't even know what happened to her. But Bishop and all these. What's that?
The first day that happened.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and then she voted on the omnibus, and so I talk about them all the time because I want them to step up and just be the sole person in the room that says no. But they won't. And you know what they do now is they say, well, the other three voted for it. Go back and look at the voting records all year long. The scapegoat now is, well, the other three did it, so that's why I did. As if that's an excuse and a reason. Yeah. He hasn't been on my show since then. I've had him on twice. Yeah, I did ask. I haven't gotten an answer yet. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they scapegoat. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Oh. Okay. I'm trying to think of the website. Where is the place you can go and learn about their votes? All you have to. Yeah, you can go there. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes. JBS.org has it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like Lee. I like Amash. That's two. It's not good. Yes, in the back. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? You're going to be flabbergasted when you go back and read Dr. Richard Day. It was scary to see what he had to say. Yes, in the back with a hat. Yes. Yes, that's you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we hold back all the funds we would have gotten from the federal government,
mm-hmm.
plus our pro rata share of the Department of Education.
Good.
Now think of the power of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cut the purse strings.
I'm trying to get some traction with this, but mm-hmm. I can't get anybody to put their name on it. So we need to call our representative.
Right. I agree. That's why the House is 2 years. Yeah, that's great. Love it. That's why the House is 2 years, is because it's the most important job in Washington. The other ones are more. The House has the purse strings. They're not holding themselves accountable for those purse strings. When people ask me about Communist Corps, I'll tell you what I'm doing about it because my kids are in public school, but next year they won't be. If you find good teachers, which I have, that are willing to walk away from the school system that hate it, you can do a hybrid, which means that your kids are have all of the... This is kind of a mixture, and this is what my kids want to do, so this isn't for everybody. But you can do a hybrid where you have your kids go to school for just like electives, like Spanish and computers, and you can do all the cores at home with a teacher that you pay, or you can do them yourself. But at least they can still be there with their friends to do their electives. And there's one answer I was gonna let you guys know, because I don't think people know that they can do that. But I don't want them teaching cores. I don't want my kids learning cores at school, because the core classes, the history is just a sham. The history is awful. It's terrible. Yes. And just two more questions and then we'll go. I think radio will be. Mm-hmm.
How real is that threat?
I think it's very real because they're not... Talk radio is moving to online because they're not putting... Ford now is not putting radios in cars anymore. It's all internet. I don't know if people realize that. It's been changing for a while, but 5 years from now, you won't just turn your dials and get radio. You'll get it through your car, through your phone, but not through that. So we're all having to move to digital. We're all having to move to internet, you know, more internet. You can stream online. But yes, I do think it will be silenced. I really do. And I don't know how long we have. And most radio shows, like most hosts like me, feel this exact same way. Because it is the true forum now, the only last forum we have to get education out to the masses. But a lot of talk show hosts won't go there. They'll just do the fluffy interviews, like when Hatch comes and they just ask him questions he wants to be asked. You know, but if they're willing to get into some issues, it's good. Yes?
With respect to the issue of holding them accountable, mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how you can. It's like that whole city that didn't vote for Mitt, remember that? An entire city, not one vote. You know, obviously we know there's a lot of fraud. But I'm not quite sure how to combat that. I just know that for the most part, we have an extremely uneducated populace, and that populace is, if we can get to the masses where the media can't train us who to hate and who to love, where the media doesn't have the influence that they have over us because we're more educated than that and we can see it, and we can see the forest for the trees, then we stand a chance. But we won't until that happens, because it doesn't matter what we do. If the populace isn't understanding what we're doing, then it won't matter. So we've got to educate more, get louder in that arena. And then really that's our true hope, is to get educated. That's why I hope that they don't curtail homeschooling so that people can educate their kids the way they want to educate them. I call myself a homeschooler anyway, don't you? Because we should be educating them around the kitchen table every single night. My kids are sick of listening to me. They can't stand it, but that's okay. That's all right, they should be. I'm educating them constantly on pointing out what the media is saying and then telling them what it's really saying. If we're not doing that on a constant basis, how in the world are they gonna know what's going on? I really appreciate you guys. You guys have been a fantastic audience. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and speak to you. Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you Friday.